Thank you for tuning in today for our podcast, 7210, the Chapel Series. 7210 is a production of Southwestern Christian University, produced by April Black, and I'm David Roman. Check out the university on our website at swcu.edu and find out more about the over 30 different degree programs that we offer. The campus is located at 7210 Northwest 39th Expressway in Bethany, Oklahoma. Stop by and check us out either on the web or at our main campus.
Well, so today we will be picking off where Dr. Fox had ended on Tuesday. So today is part two of Moses, and today we have a wonderful speaker from a gate, Josh Jones.
Appreciate it, man. Awesome, man. Hey, can we do this? I don't know if you guys do this, but I'm always grateful. Thank you, man. I'm always grateful for people that get on stage and just lead us in worship. And I just want to say I think you guys did a phenomenal job. Can we just give it up for your worship team here? You guys have an amazing worship team. Amazing worship team. I'm not at home, so I'm going to be extremely nice. But I was trying to find out, where are the leaders in the room? I was trying to find out, where are the leaders in the room? I'm looking around, man, like this front should have been packed with people pouring themselves out to God, but it's easy to get caught in a routine. And see, when you guys eat this good all the time, you become familiar with how good the food is that you've been served with. And you should never let the guy coming in be more celebratory over what's been offered if it's your house and you eat there all the time. It's quiet in here today, but you didn't know this little Indian guy was coming. He's shaking us up a little bit, and it's like 2 minutes into it. But see, my heart was just burning. I'm just saying, Jesus, what do you want to say? And he said, ask them, where are the leaders there at? Not just academia-wise. Where's your passion? Or maybe where did you place it at? Today, I just feel strong in my heart. I got just a few minutes to share, and I have a set topic that I'm supposed to share from, a set passage of scripture. But I believe if you'll give Papa a few moments of your time, you won't be disappointed. And I call God Papa because that's what Jesus called him. He called him Abba. He called him Dad. He called him Papa. Every faith has a being that they call God, but Jesus is the only one that came and he switched that up. He actually called him Dad. He called him Abba. He called him Papa. And so I've been doing this for 12 years now. So if you hear that, don't think it not strange, but here we go. I'm going to read from Exodus chapter 2, I'm going to just start at verse 11. I'll just read a couple of verses and I'll just share some things about the life of Moses with you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Somewhere on here I'm supposed to be. All right. It came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and he looked at their burdens. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brothers. So he looked this way and that way. And when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and he hit him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, he saw two Hebrew men fighting. And he said to the one who did the wrong, why are you striking your companion? And he said to Moses, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill us the same way you killed the Egyptian? Papa, let your word penetrate our hearts today in Jesus' name. I love the story of Moses, man, because he's one of those guys that honestly, like when I read the Bible, I can identify with him. You know, when you read the Bible, you don't read about perfect people. I love that, right? How many know that Abraham had a lying issue in the Bible? It's quiet in this Baptist college. And Abraham was the father of faith. Moses was the greatest deliverer the nation of Israel ever known. And he was full of issues. I love the fact that God takes imperfect people and he does unique things through their lives, right? David, the greatest king of Israel ever, he had a woman issue. Thank God there's a Peter in the Bible, because he shows me that you can still be a man of God, but you're still struggling with things like profanity. And if you know you're sitting beside that person, don't say amen, but you know exactly who I'm talking about. Anyway, it's quiet. So God uses imperfect people, much like Moses, much like this guy that's on stage. If you guys knew my story, you wouldn't even want to be sitting in the room here right now, right? But God uses Moses, and a little bit about Moses' story. I don't know if the speaker last week kind of told you what Moses' name means, but his name literally means to be drawn out of something. That's literally, look up Moses, the definition, it means to be drawn out of. So the Bible says Pharaoh's daughter, she drew him out of the Nile. When she drew him out, she said, I'm going to name him Moses because I drew him out of the water. Pretty creative name, right? See, you don't know it yet, but Moses doesn't know it yet. But his job will be to one day draw the nation of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. So God always puts a name on you that's in according with what he's called you to do. No, I said he puts a name on you that's in accordance with the thing that he called you to do. See, my parents didn't know it, but when they named me Joshua, Joshua is literally where the name Jesus is derived from. It's Yeshua. They didn't know that what they put in, when they put a name on me, it was speaking to the thing that God put me on the planet to do. Some of you guys should look at where God drew you from. He drew you out of some bad relationships. Why did he do that? Maybe he drew you out of a crooked town. Why did he do that for? Because God knows there's something in you. If you're taking notes, you might want to write this quote down. God is always preparing you for the thing he has got prepared for you. See, I'm fixing to be 40 years old. If I shave my facial hair, I go back to 20 years old real quick. I'm a little bit older than I look. Been around my own block a time or two. I'm married to an amazing woman. Man, she's the hottest thing walking the earth to me right now, and I love it in Jesus' name. I got two amazing kids, and I'm thinking, how did I end up here in Oklahoma City? Even when I was a boy, I was learning things that would benefit me at this moment right now in my life. See, you may think, man, I'm just taking some classes right now. I'm taking some Bible classes. I'm taking some basics in college. I got a girlfriend. I'm working at wherever you might be working at. But trust me, you are learning things right now that will benefit you the rest of your life. I'm actually struggling with things right now in my life that I didn't deal with when I was your age. And if your parents were in the room, they would tell you they're dealing with things right now because they failed to deal with them maybe when they were your age or maybe even younger. So God is always preparing me for the thing that he has got prepared for me. If you can't like take out trash, if taking out trash bothers you, then you're not ready to lead. If you can't make your bed when you get up in the morning, then you're probably not ready to lead. Watch this. If your outer world is in a mess, it's a good sign that your inward world is in a mess. I thought we were just talking about Moses. Where did he come from? He's probably never coming back to speak again because he's up in my stuff, right? If your inward world is in a mess, it's probably a good sign when your outer world is like all messed up. I want you to know this. Where did Moses come from? God needed Moses because Israel needed Moses. You don't just sneak into the earth. You have to be spoken into the earth. You are a word sent from God. Regardless of how we got here, our getting here is never an accident. Your parents might didn't plan on you being here, but God said, I need you, Sarah. I need you, Joseph. I need you, Travis. I need you, Joshua. I need you, Pastor Mike. God needed us, and so here we are. You don't have a choice as to what your race will be when you arrive. I'm a Native American Indian from the poorest county in my state. I didn't get to choose that. I grew up in abject poverty. I didn't get to choose that. It's like I take pride in the fact that I'm brown. Why do I take pride in that? I didn't choose it. God sovereignly made me that way. But watch this. What you do get to choose is what you will do with the choices you have every single day. Can you just imagine Moses? He's growing up in Pharaoh's house and he's looking at these people and he's like, bro, you guys are not the same color as my skin. Actually, my skin looks more like the people that are getting whips placed across their back. Actually, you know what? My accent sounds more like the people that are making those bricks out there as slaves more than the guys that are getting wine poured to them in the palace. Actually, you know what? My posture, my height actually resembles them more than it resembles you. And there comes this conflict inside of Moses, and he gets a revelation real quick. Actually, I'm not even supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be one of them. And after living 40 years in a palace that he was never even destined for, he's walking around and he sees an Egyptian beating on a Hebrew. And I love the Bible. I think Moses was a Lumbee Indian like me, because the Bible said he looked this way and he looked that way. And when he knew that nobody was looking, he went up to this Egyptian and in his own way, he smoked him, y'all. He did him in. And then the Bible says this, he buried him. Now, there was only one other person there that day, and that was the Hebrew that Moses was saving. And Moses buried him in the sand. Now, because we have a Bible, we know that Moses would go on to be the great deliverer of Israel. Moses didn't know that, though. The next day comes around, and Moses is out walking, and now he sees two of his own people. He sees two Hebrews going at it. And he walks over. He's like, "What are you guys doing? Why are you fighting each other, man? You're your own people. Don't do this." And one of the guys says, "You think you're our ruler? You think you're our judge? You're going to kill me like you tried to kill that guy yesterday and bury him? Is that what you want to do to me?" And the Bible says Moses became fearful because the thing was known. How did that get out, by the way? Probably the guy that he saved went back home and said, "Y'all ain't going to believe this. One of the Egyptians came and saved me yesterday. And that guy went and told another guy, and that guy went and told another guy, and that guy went and told another guy." In less than 24 hours, in all of Egypt, it was known that one of Egypt's own men killed one of their own men, saving a Hebrew. But see, that was all part of God's plan, because God knew Moses would hear that. Moses would become fearful, and Moses would run and hide in the desert for another 40 years. But God was up to something. The question was, "Moses, who are you? You think you're a prince or a judge?" If you're taking notes, I would write this down. Identity is still important. I graduated in 2001. At least when I was in school, it was a big thing, man, like what you wore. Probably still the same thing today. Like, it's amazing to me. People got their identity out of what they drove, the clothes they had on, where they lived, all of which are temporal things. See, as long as you get your identity from temporal things, then your identity will never be secure. Watch this. As long as your identity comes from people you hang around, then you're good as long as those people are around. But once they leave your life, your identity's shaken. As long as your identity comes from money, that's cool as long as you got money. But when money goes, then your identity's gone. As long as your identity comes out of some pleasure you get, that's cool as long as you got that pleasure. But when that pleasure's gone, then your identity's gone. Never get your identity out of temporal things. They're always fading and fleeting. Rather, find your identity in something eternal. Man, in May 5th, 2001, I fell in love with another man. His name is Jesus. And he began to tell me who I am. "You're not your financial status right now, Joshua. You're not even what you call your tribe to be, Joshua. You're my son." Moses had to get an identity crisis to figure out who he was. That one question sent Moses on a journey that would lead him to the place he needed to be in life. And my question to you today is this: do you know who you are? Like, literally, like, do you know that? Like, when's the last time you got along with God and you saw his eyes? Do you know what his breath smells like? Do you know what his hand on the back of your neck feels like? When's the last time you got in your dorm room and maybe you actually put on music and you sat there until tears streamed out of your eyes and you said, "God, identify me"? I mean, we don't even know what bathroom to go to now in our day. We got this. We got stuff that's even happening in the church. It's so crazy. It's so crooked, man. I mean, we gossiping doesn't bother us. Lying doesn't bother us. Rebellion doesn't bother us. Having attitudes doesn't bother us. And we wonder why. I'm in a Christian college today, guys. There was not one person standing up front in a Christian college during worship. We're worshiping the God of the universe, the one who calls us out of places. And it's like, man, just do your time and let me go back to my class. But I'm telling you, God wants you to know he desires you, because he is the only one that can righteously and rightly say, "You are mine." He's the God that turned prostitutes into preachers. He's the God that turned fishermen into apostles. He took the demonically oppressed of his day and sent them back into their cities, and they turned their cities upside down. He turns tax collectors into world changers. He turned small, skinny Native American Indians who grew up in abstract poverty, and from the age of really 21 through 27, he sent me to 13 different countries, of which I never paid a penny to go. Don't tell me what he will not do. He will do it. But who are you? Well, I don't know. Man, I'm trying to figure that out. God is committed to your maturing. You know what I love about Moses? The Bible says that, see, abortion is nothing new. It's been happening for a long time. Post-birth abortion is nothing new, which they're still trying to pass those laws again today. Every time someone great is getting ready to be born in the earth, the abortion stuff always kicks itself back up again. In Moses' day, Israel needed a deliverer. God said, come. And what happens? Let's abort it. Because watch this. The enemy knows it is easy to deal with a deliverer in their infancy rather than it is to try to fight them in their time of maturity. Did you hear that? Come on. I can fight a baby bear. But you see the size of my wrist? I don't want to fight an adult bear. Come on, I can take an acorn and throw it all the way across this room in its infancy, but I'm not moving it in its maturity. And the reason you see stuff happening in our culture today like it is because God's not raising up one deliverer. There's one on that pew, maybe five. There's some on that pew, maybe 10. There's deliverers happening all around us. So when you see all of this craziness, it's actually a sign that God is up to something in this generation. And that excites my heart. Moses had to figure out who he was and what God was doing. I love the question, who are you? I want you to know this. You are not what you do. Your do should flow out of your who. But see, I went to college and I became a doctor, so I'm a doctor. No, you're not a doctor. You just do doctor things. Well, I'm a fireman. No, you're not a fireman. You just put out fires. See, culture has shifted it. We say things like this. Well, your who flows out of your do. No. Your doing should always flow out of who you are becoming. You're not a human doing. You are a human being. Moses, who are you? I'm the deliverer. I'm the one that was drawn out of the water so I can draw my nation back out of Egyptian bondage. Come on, you are not a human doing. You are a human being. Moses would soon get a revelation as he grew up in Pharaoh's house, watching his own people in bondage. He was going to get a revelation of what I call character versus reputation. So for me, you know, for really over 10 years, man, I was not a little bit, like I was so bound in pornography. That's in this room today like crazy, by the way. But I was so bound by it, man, it was crazy. I was in church. Actually, I was traveling speaking all across the nation, bound by pornography. I had such false humility about me, man. I remember being in a room with a group of other college students. I was about 23 years of age, and they were like, this senior pastor, he asked a question. He said, who's the most spiritual man in this room right now? Guess who they all pointed to? Me. I could have hid up under this stage when they made that comment. Because on the outside, I looked so good. But on the inside, the part of my life, man, they didn't see, I was ST Ruggling. You hear me? So watch this. My reputation was, I'm a man of God. Never confuse reputation and character. Never confuse reputation and character, because reputation is who other folks think you are, but character is who you know you really are. And God said, Joshua, I'm not here to affect your reputation. I'm here to dig down into the core of who you really are and make that man right. Man, Moses went through surgery in Pharaoh's house. But it was because God was trying to bring the deliverer out of him. Now watch this. I'm almost done. Can somebody come play the keys real quick? I want to just wrap up with giving you a few thoughts about this guy's life. One is the Bible says his mother hid him till she could no longer hide him. They were aborting babies. Just imagine, Pharaoh would send his huntsman to the door, and he would say, we heard you had a child. No, I didn't have a child. You didn't have a child? No, I didn't have a child. See, the Bible says she hid him till she could no longer hide him. She could literally hide her baby behind the door and put her hand over his mouth. So if he cried, Pharaoh couldn't hear him. Because when you're small, you can do that. But as he began to grow, she could no longer hide the fact that she had a son. And I'm telling you, God's doing some things in some people's lives in this room this morning. It's been hidden, but the time will come. It can't be hidden anymore. Do you know what? I get calls to travel places and speak all the time now. Actually, I get more calls than I have time to go. I don't want any more calls. I don't need any more calls. But do you know what happened? I was hidden until I can no longer be hidden. See, I'm not looking for platforms anymore, guys. Those things come and find me. I love hiding. And it's in my hiding that things come looking for me. Moses was hidden until he could no longer be hidden. And God's hiding giftings in this room. And I'm just like, whoa. I saw someone when I was in here earlier today. I was just thinking, there's something in that young lady right there. There's something in that young man right there. It hadn't reached the surface yet, but it's there. And God will hide it until he can no longer hide it. Moses actually had a revelation that he was called to be a deliverer. But watch this. He made a physical advancement before he made a spiritual one. And even though he was called to deliver Israel from Egypt, he was called to destroy the Egyptians. When he got ahead of God's timing, he killed one Egyptian and couldn't even hide one man in the sand. Why? Because his character wasn't there yet. But after 40 years of development, you know what? In disobedience, he couldn't hide one man in the sand. But watch this. In obedience, he buried thousands of them in a Red Sea. Did you hear what you just heard? Did you hear that? In disobedience, he couldn't bury one man in the sand. But in obedience, he buried thousands of them in a Red Sea. As I look around this room, I see some young men. And I see some young women. Really, you guys are the hope of your generation. Like, you should know that, man. Like Jesus through you. It's Christ in you, man. That's the hope of glory. I want to challenge you in my last few minutes to live this Jesus life, man. Live it his way. Don't you get tired of reading the Bible and you read a book, but your life never mirrors it? Like, I want to see the same thing. I can talk to you about angelic encounters. I can tell you the first time I ever seen a blind person see. I can tell you the first story I ever saw where a person who had never walked got up out of a wheelchair. Like, I got some really cool stories, but all of those stories pale in comparison to every single day. Me meeting with him. This morning, it was about 6:15 when my family was still in bed, and I went in my office and I cut my lamp on and I got under my blanket and I just said, Papa, thank you. And today I get to do this life for you. Thank you, Yahweh. Thank you, Yahweh. I just sense the Lord saying he's calling hearts back to a place of fervency. If you're in this room today and you feel like maybe you're one of the ones that God's calling your heart back to a fiery place and not a cold place, would you be willing to just simply stand where you are? I want to pray a prayer. But if that's you and you want to burn throughout all of 2020, maybe you're the one person I came here for today. I'm going to count to three and I want to invite you just to stand with me. One, two, three. If that's you and you want to be a burning one and you don't want to be lukewarm, you want to know who you are, I want you to stand with me. Yahweh, all across this room this morning, I pray for every young man and every young woman who says they want their heart to be ablaze. And God, we can't create that from 1,000 church services, but there's something special about one meeting with you. God, I pray that this college will be known throughout this city, not just because of the grade point averages that come from it, but they'll say it was in Southwestern Christian University. I remember it. It was in the year 2020. They had a generation of young people come through that school. Our city was never the same. The classrooms were burning. They were burning on the soccer field. They were burning in the gym. They were burning in the workout room. They were burning as they did cheerleading. I'm telling you, there were some young men and young women who had character. They had integrity. They had prayer meetings that the dean didn't even call for. They had revival meetings that were not scheduled. They were having angelic encounters. There were some young people that marked our generation, God. Let it be said of them. Let it be said of them. And God, I pray for encounters when they sleep. I pray for conversations over cafeteria meals that stir the hunger in each other for you, God. God, would you do something in our city that's unique, something we can't take credit for? I pray for the remainder of this school year, God, for these students. Let it be filled with God's surprises, the only kind that you could bring. God, it's been my joy to share your heart today. And I pray that these words will live longer than the time that I've even had to speak today. In Jesus' name. Come on, one more time. We just give Jesus a shout because he really is good. Can we do that? Let's put our hands together for him.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, thank you, Josh. That's awesome. You are all dismissed.
Thank you for tuning in today for our podcast, 7210, The Chapel Series. 7210 is a production of Southwestern Christian University, produced by April Black, and I'm David Roman. Check out the university on our website at swcu.edu. And find out more about the over 30 different degree programs that we offer. The campus is located at 7210 Northwest 39th Expressway in Bethany, Oklahoma. Stop by and check us out either on the web or at our main campus.